Last February's Winter Olympics is credited with bridging a religious divide in Salt Lake City. But now the afterglow is gone because of the sale of a downtown city street. The buyer is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, better known as the Mormon Church. The church is the dominant political, economic, and religious force in Utah. And as NPR's Howard Berkus reports, many non-Mormons resent the conversion of a public street to private religious use.
Beaming newlyweds Brian and Brittany pose in tuxedo and gown on a grassy knoll, with the granite Gothic Mormon temple rising behind them and Christmas music blaring. This is exactly what Mormon leaders had in mind when they spent more than $30 million buying, closing, and developing a block of Salt Lake City's main street on the edge of downtown.
We've taken pictures in different locations around the temple, and we just want to capture the beauty of it. We just got married about an hour ago.
Jenny wants one of you holding their hand walking.
And watching nearby is Randy Gibson, a geologist from Denver, who remembers when this plaza was a street.
Actually, the street always seemed like a distraction because this is the place where if you want to look at the temple and kind of enjoy its beauty, it's the best place to do it that doesn't have the traffic of the street. It's just a natural, beautiful place to sit and look at these very sacred things we have here.
Including the Mormon temple and tabernacle on one side and church office buildings on the other. It's a Mormon campus now, linked by fountains, a reflecting pool, flower beds, and lawns, and it's tearing Salt Lake City apart, says Mayor Rocky Anderson.
This has become very symbolic in terms of whether we give special treatment to this religious organization because of the power that they have and the way that they're able to organize politically, and whether elected officials are going to simply cave into that or whether we say no.
Mayor Anderson's non-Mormon predecessor arranged the sale of the Main Street block in a process some believe secretly favored the church. The city was desperate for green space and cash. The church wanted one consolidated campus without a street running through it. The deal included an easement guaranteeing public access. It also contained restrictions on behavior and dress. That sent civil libertarians to court, Mayor Anderson.
Now, the court has held that those two are constitutionally incompatible. The city cannot guarantee access and at the same time have all these restrictions.
Some of the restrictions reflected Mormon values, including bans on smoking, drinking, so-called indecent dress, and more.
The main restriction that created the constitutional problem was a provision in the final legal documents that enabled the church to prohibit, quote-unquote, offensive speech.
Stephen Clark sued the church and the city on behalf of the American Civil Liberties Union.
A prohibition on offensive speech is an unconstitutional restriction because it empowers the enforcer to exercise utter discretion about what's offensive and what's not. The other piece that struck us as problematic was that while members of the public were prohibited from engaging in a whole variety of activities, from pamphleteering to demonstrating to gathering, all kinds of things, the Mormon Church was explicitly allowed to engage in those very activities on the plaza. That struck us as discriminatory.
In fact, an evangelical Christian handing out biblical tracts was arrested at the plaza this spring. This fall, a federal appeals court struck down the restrictions, facilitating the worst nightmare of Mormon leaders.
27 wives. How would you like to be one of Brigham Young, the whoremonger's wives?
Anti-Mormon demonstrators showed up within hours. This man appeared one night last month when the plaza teemed with visitors viewing Christmas lights.
If you were to die today, would you be in heaven or would you be in hell?
Inadvertently, we've created a space now where people want to come to protest in an area that has never been a protest area. It's become that, and that's not the intent.
David Burton is the Mormon leader who manages church properties.
This is the international headquarters of a major religious organization, and we feel the same about this spot as others do about places like the Vatican and Jerusalem and other kinds of places around the globe. This is sacred ground for us.
Newlyweds now complain that protesters block their temple wedding scenes with signs. Some parents complain that children planting flowers are showered with obscenities. So the church has taken a firm stance. dissolve the easement that guarantees public access, and give Mormon leaders full control of the plaza.
Good afternoon. Can I get your name, please?
And you're calling me. Salt
Lake City Council Office. Can I get your name, please?
The church launched a public relations campaign seeking support for its position, which triggered more than 18,000 phone calls to the Salt Lake City Council in the last 2 weeks. Council staffer Bill Haight set up this phone bank to handle the calls.
The phones are they just plain and simply do not stop ringing. It's phenomenal. I can't believe the volume of calls that are coming in. We're getting calls from as far away as Hong Kong, London, Anchorage, Alaska, Hawaii, all across the United States, and an awful lot of calls are from right here in the Salt Lake Valley, just everywhere that you can think of.
I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Salt Lake City Council. We welcome you here this evening. This is a special public hearing we have scheduled to discuss the Main Street Plaza issue.
Public meetings, hearings, and news conferences on the issue are broadcast live statewide. Most of those testifying, calling, and writing favor church control of the plaza. That's not surprising since Mormons make up about 70% of the population of Utah and about half of Salt Lake City. There's also non-Mormon sympathy. Prompted by the abusive behavior of some demonstrators, the promise to keep the plaza open to pedestrians, and the fact that protesters can gather on public sidewalks a few steps away. Still, a sizable minority is unhappy. Polly Hart is a community activist who spoke at a hearing this week.
I wasn't going to come here and speak this evening, but a couple hours ago I was listening on the radio, and former City Attorney Cutler mentioned a small but growing group of vocal people who will always resent the church. Well, I'm sorry, but after sitting in my community council and listening to promises being made that have not been kept, who can blame us? I can only tell you that if you vacate this easement, the group is going to grow and the group is going to get louder.
Much of what's at issue in this case taps into what historian John McCormick has called the contested nature of Salt Lake City.
Civil liberties lawyer Stephen Clark.
Because its history has always been characterized by questions such as, whose city is this? Who belongs here? Whose voice will be heard? The struggle over Main Street on a psychological level could not be more powerfully symbolic of that broader struggle for the heart, if not the soul, of Salt Lake City.
Main Street meets the plaza at a fountain cascading into a sandstone pool. Traffic divides here. Many say the city does as well. In desperate bids for peace, Mayor Rocky Anderson has put two proposals before the all-Mormon City Council. One permits limited protests. Mormon leaders are dead set against that. The other gives the church full control of the plaza in exchange for church land elsewhere for an expanded community center. That won't likely bridge the religious divide, but it will keep the issue alive. The proposal already has the American Civil Liberties Union threatening to return to court. Howard Berkus, NPR News, Salt Lake City.